Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Could ISAs overtake pensions as the UK's retirement savings vehicle of choice? When the tax-free savings accounts were launched by Gordon Brown in 1999, few would have expected them to become a serious part of our retirement portfolios. Well, times have changed. The tax benefits of pensions have been steadily eroded over the past decade, but at the same time, ISAs have been coming into their own. In the last but one tax year, nearly two-thirds of adults earning £150,000 or more per year used up their full ISA allowance of £20,000. Way to go. Most people approaching retirement today will rely on a combination of pensions and ISA income, but the topsy-turvy nature of their tax treatment and the different inheritance tax concerns means investors have to carefully plan how best to take income from both. Here to appraise us of the key points is Lindsay Cook, the FT's Money Mentor columnist, who joins us over the line. Welcome, Lindsay.
Good morning.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today. Slightly straitened times at the FT. We're having to do all of our podcast interviews over the phone. But listeners will be very intrigued by what you have to say about the combined tax advantages of an ISA and a pension, because this is something that older listeners can play to absolutely brilliant effect.
Yes, and when they were launched and the maximum investment in a share ISA was £7,000 a year, you'd never have guessed that people could get so much in them that they would actually be valuable in pensions. But you pay no CGT on gains within your ISA. You don't pay any dividend tax, and that can be quite expensive for higher rate taxpayers.
Yeah.
And you pay no income tax. And you pay no income tax when you draw the money. So with pensions, there are limits on what you can take out, 25% or whatever, and you've got to be very careful not to exceed them, or you can get a real penalty. With ISAs, you take it as you want it, and people do different things. They may just take the dividend income each year is one of the ways that a lot of people do it, so that they feel that they're looking after their pot. And I know in recent days, the markets have been a bit hairy, but these are long-term investments. If you started with a PEP back in the 80s and then rolled it over into ISAs, you are dealing with them just in the same way as pensions. And because you don't have to take the full amount out, you just take out what you want or need at the time. They work like pensions, and you... Yes, you worry about the total of your fund, but you just go on as normal.
Well, one person who you quoted in your article in FT Money was saying, basically, take your pensions income up to the level of £50,000, which means that you're still a basic rate taxpayer, and then top up with the ISA income, because you won't be pushed into the higher rate tax bracket, because all of the withdrawals from your ISA are tax-free.
Absolutely. And also, the other way of looking at it is, if you have, because not everybody's got all their investments in their ISA, if you have standalone other investments that are going to show a capital gain, use the 12,000 allowance each year to take the gain, no tax on it, and that's money that's... Well, free of tax, which is what all of us want.
Well, one of the most fascinating things in your piece was the growing number of ISA millionaires. That's defined as people who, in their ISA portfolio, some of which would have rolled over from PEPs, personal equity plans, the predecessor to the ISA, their portfolio is now valued at more than £1 million. So I have to say, at the time you wrote your article, there were most of the platforms were reporting a couple of hundred ISA millionaires each. That was obviously before the coronavirus crisis hit the market. So there may be fewer ISA millionaires around today. But nevertheless, tell us about the kind of things they have in common.
Well, a lot of the ones who are millionaires are millionaire couples in that they've both put in the full allowance each year. And, you know, to have, for a couple, $40,000 to put into tax-free investments each year, you're already doing pretty well. But if you started just on day one of ISAs and used the full allowance each year for one person, you'd have put £229,560 into your ISAs. Now, on top of that, there will have been gains, and one of the people I spoke to said typically his clients had made 7% growth on their ISAs. They'd obviously had some slightly riskier investments, etc., in the early years, but he said at 7% growth, that means your investment doubles in 10 years. Well, for somebody starting out early on in the same way as they would with a pension, you're easily going to go over £1 million if you put in the full amount in. And quite a lot of the people use their ISAs, particularly in the early years, for their more speculative investments, thinking, yes, it may go down, but hey, this Amazon thing, I'll have a few shares, or this Tesla thing, I'll have a few shares, or this Google thing. And there's some of them, told by advisors, you know, did spectacularly well by using part of their allowance, putting into those early companies and you know, have a fortune that is tax-free.
Well, finally, let's turn to what FT readers had to say about the article. Did you have a favourite comment?
I think that it's basically, I really love the fact that they felt it was useful and it was guiding them to all the different tax-free ways you can save to build up your portfolio, because a lot of people don't think of those things. They get sold investments and sometimes sold wrongly on the tax benefits rather than just living a life and going on with it. So I thought it was the fact that you could do very nicely, and they liked the fact that all the details were there.
And there was a good one, I thought, from FT reader Paul Munton, who said, my wife and I refer to our ISAs as the Alzheimer funds. That is based on the experience of having to provide nursing care to an older relative. I mean, a bit of a profound comment, but nevertheless, one that resonated.
Absolutely. And as you know, there's a lot of warnings from pensions people that don't think your pension is going to cover you for care homes. There was a report out only a couple of weeks ago saying how all but the top 10% of pension earners will not have enough to pay for a care home in their old age. So you do need other investments.
And I'm going to read out a fairly long comment, but one that was really, really liked by other FT readers, from Wimbledonian, who on FT.com praised your article for highlighting what a generous tax system the UK has if you are in the minority, he says, who are lucky enough to be able to save. Prior to my retirement, he wrote, my aspiration was to achieve a pension at the lifetime limit, currently just over £1 million. ISA pots for my wife and I totalling £1 million together with equities held outside of any tax wrapper. I can then take a tax-free lump sum on my pension of circa £250,000 to reduce or pay off my mortgage. Then, he says, it could be possible to generate a joint annual income of around £123,000, and he reckons pay only around £6,000 worth of tax if couples combine their allowances, take around £40,000 per year from pensions, meaning they're both basic rate taxpayers, and £40,000 tax-free income from their ISA. And between them, use up their full personal allowance, capital gains tax allowance, dividend allowance and savings allowance. Now, any extra cash, he says, could be put into premium bonds where you can have up to £50,000 each, where all prizes are tax-free. So if you're lucky enough to win one, that's more tax-free bunts. And if you have children, they can also have premium bond accounts taken out in their names. And then don't forget the tax-free savings limits, which have now been increased to £9,000, incredibly, on the junior ISAs. And then a further £2,900 per annum, which can be paid into a junior SIP which would then get topped up with basic rate tax relief to a cool £3,600. Now, Lindsay, I'm not surprised that so many readers did like that comment, a brilliant summary as it was of the tax advantages that are still available to the wealthiest who can afford to save.
And it actually outlines, don't waste an allowance. They say, oh, dividend allowance, that's gone. Well, it's £2,000. And if you've got dividends, you know, make sure you use your allowances, you plan which investments are going to do what, and the big thing to me is the spouses being able to box and cox their investments and make sure that you get the most out of it.
Well, thanks very much there to Lindsay Cook, the FT's Money Mentor columnist. You can read Lindsay's full article, Using ISAs to Fund Your Retirement, online now at ft.com/money. And within that article, you'll also be able to find links to a wealth of other pieces all about ISAs, including the junior ISA and its expanded allowance, plus peer-to-peer ISAs, how to set up a stocks and shares ISA, and even some comments from me about what I do with my own one. That's it for The Money Show this week. We hope to be back with you next week, although virus permitting, if we can still get into the studio, you'll be hearing from us. If not, you can keep an eye on our website, ft.com/money, where we update you with all of the latest news on what's happening in the markets. You can also reach us and our team of experts by emailing money@ft.com or following us on Twitter, where our handle is @ftmoney. The podcast today was recorded in London and produced by Lucy Warwick-Ching. I'm Claire Barrett. I hope very much to be talking to you again this time next week. Goodbye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.